grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Amen.
From the Gospel for this Sunday, St. Luke 16, verses 8 and 9. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One of the most often misquoted passages in Holy Scripture is the 10th verse of the 6th chapter of the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy. In that verse, St. Paul doesn't say money is the root of all evil. He says the love of money is the root of all evil. Words are, of course, best understood in context. And so this whole passage in which these words occur is worth hearing. St. Paul has this to say. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptations and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful desires, for the love of money is the root of all evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Not money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. And the word translated into English as love of money really means greed, greed. A kind of driven desire, not only for money, but for property of all kinds, for status, perhaps for reputation. And so when in today's gospel Jesus speaks of unrighteous wealth, it's not the wealth itself that's unrighteous, not the money, not the property, but how it's all used. And the rich man in Jesus' parable commends his manager, certainly not for his dishonesty, but for his shrewdness, ingratiating himself with his master's debtors, so that when he loses his job, they'll be likely to help him in his predicament. When the rich man discovers that his manager has done this, he praises the manager not for his dishonesty, but for his shrewdness. To put it bluntly, the rich man commends his manager for being a clever rascal. And Jesus notes that the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than the sons of light, as if to say, worldly people with no thoughts beyond this present life will sometimes behave more sensibly and providently than other worldly people. If worldly people use their wealth to prepare for their earthly future, why can't those who are children of light use their earthly wealth to prepare for their eternal future? And so Jesus says, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. But isn't eternal life the pure gift of God's mercy? And nothing we can somehow earn by how we use our money, our property, our talents, our natural abilities. Eternal life is indeed the pure gift of God's mercy. Our only claim on God is the blood of Christ. But in Holy Scripture, God also teaches that the good we do in this life will be rewarded in the life of the world to come. And Jesus says in today's gospel that those to whom we have done good will be among the great throng waiting to welcome us to the peace and joy of the heavenly kingdom. Remember how our Lord tells us that at the last judgment, He will say to those who gave food to the hungry and clothing to the naked, who welcomed strangers and visited the sick, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. There is also this. Almost immediately after telling this parable of the shrewd but dishonest manager, Jesus goes on to tell that very familiar parable of the rich man and poor Lazarus. The rich man who had plenty of unrighteous wealth and who used it to secure all the comfort and good cheer he possibly could, giving no thought to the life to come. And then the time came when he'd been very glad to have even one friend to welcome him into the eternal habitations. But he hadn't used even a little of his wealth to help poor Lazarus lying at his door. Had he done even that, he might have had at least one friend to welcome him on the other side, for Lazarus could then have said, "This rich man showed me kindness on earth." But the rich man had given Lazarus no reason whatsoever to say any such thing. And so the rich man in Hades finds himself without a friend when he needs one most, and he has no one to blame but himself. And there is also this, the parable of the rich man and poor Lazarus is a picture of our world today. The parable of the rich man and poor Lazarus is a picture of our world today. But on second thought, it's a picture of how the world of Adam's fallen race has in fact always been. As someone has said, there is enough in this world for everyone's need, but never enough for everyone's greed. There is enough in this world for everyone's need, but never enough for everyone's greed. When St. Paul exhorted the Christians in the city of Corinth to give generously to an offering for their poor brothers and sisters in Jerusalem, he pointed those Corinthian Christians to Jesus. St. Paul writes to them, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich." In his only and eternal Son, born of Mary, God, our Maker, reveals himself as the generous God, the great giver to the spiritually bankrupt human race. So, see the generous God. See the great giver in the manger and on the cross. See that utterly unselfish gift and know that in him you have a treasure that never fails, reserved in heaven for you. And then be generous. Be generous with your gifts and talents, with whatever wealth your generous Maker and Redeemer has entrusted to you for this little time. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. And now let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one God.